Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chav Ches. We left off on daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are holding at the two dots Nishchita Habehema. So today's shiur once again is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, and again we thank him so very much for the sponsorship. Anyone who would like to sponsor can email dafsponsor@bknw.org, and of course we appreciate it very, very much. Dr. Landerer is sponsoring in honor of his wife and his children. He should continue to have nachas from all of them. So we are holding on daf kuf chav zayin amud beis at the two dots. The majority of amud aleph of today's daf is going to be six different explanations of machlokas that we saw in the Mishnah yesterday between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, whether an aver hamiduldol is huchshar b'shchita. When you do a shchita on an animal that already has a limb dangling from it, does that dangling limb become huchshar l'kabel tuma as a result of that shchita? So that's Machlokas Tanaim. We're going to have six explanations of that Machlokas Tanaim. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to raise a series of Shailas, five to be exact, that all relate to the same basic idea. Can something that is not Mekabel Tuma serve as a Yad for that which is attached to it that is Mekabel Tuma? And we're going to have five different permutations of that Shaila that are all going to end in Teku. And then we're going to have a discussion on Amud Beis where we compare the Tuma status of Eiver Min HaChai to the Tuma status of Eiver Min HaNevela. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to talk about flesh that is Poresh from Eiver Min HaChai. So Amud Aleph is mostly about this machlokes about being huchshar b'shchita, and Amud Beis is mostly about the tuma status of Eiver Min HaChai and Eiver Min HaNevela. Okay, so the Mishnah had said nishchita behema, if the behema is shechted, so the Eiver HaMeduldol becomes huchshar according to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon says no, the Eiver HaMeduldol does not become huchshar the kabel tuma as a result of the shchita. So b'may kamiflgi, what exactly are they arguing about? So we're going to have six deos of Amoraim, what exactly they're arguing about. First shita is Amar Rabba, b'behema nasis yad la'ever kamiflgi. Machlok Shemayim Rabbi Shimon is, do you say that an entire behema can be a yad for the aver or the basar that are dangling from it? Which is unusual. Yad is normally a handle by which you hold something. You would think it's a smaller part than the actual item itself. But over here, the entire rest of the behema is a yad for the aver amiduldo, because the a meichel that becomes royal l'kabel tuma is not only royal l'kabel tuma when it's not only hukshul l'kabel tuma when the food itself comes into contact with the liquid, even when the yad becomes hukshur l'kabel tuma, the assumption is that the food itself becomes hukshur automatically along with it. So Mar Savar Ein Behema Nasis Yad LeEver. Rabbi Shimon holds that a behema is not considered to be a yad to a single aver that's meduldal from it, because the behema cannot be considered a tafel to that single aver. And Mar Savar and Rabbi Meir holds Behema Nasis Yad LeEver, that a behema can be a yad for an aver that's meduldal from it. So when the behema itself becomes hukshur l'kabel tuma, the aver meduldal becomes hukshur l'kabel tuma along with it. Second possibility, what they're arguing about, and this one's going to take us a little while. Abaye Yamar, Abaye says, no, that's not the machlokas. Even a Meir would be moda that a behema could not possibly be yad for a single aver. But over here, what they're arguing about is ba'oches b'katon v'ein gadol ole imo kamiflagi. The machlokas is, what if this aver is connected to the behema with a very weak connection, to the point that if you would lift up this aver, the behema would not get lifted with it, the aver would just come right off. Meaning the connection to the behema is so weak that you could just yank the aver right off just by trying to lift it up. Mar Savar, Rameir holds, Ochis Bukatam Rein Gadol Ole Imo Hareu Kamahu, that if the, that even if the aver would snap right off, nevertheless, by lifting the larger part of the behema, the aver would be lifted together with the behema, that's considered a strong enough connection that it's a single unit, and therefore when the behema becomes hukshar, the aver becomes hukshar as well. Umar Savareinu Kamahu, and Rabbi Shimon holds that no, if by lifting up the aver, the behema will not come along with it, then it's not considered a single guf, and it's not going to be nichshar b'shchitasa. When you shech the animal, the rest of the behema becomes comes from the Kabbal Tumah, but not the Avraham Adoldo, because the Avraham Adoldo is not considered to be connected. So according to Abaye, what the Machlokas Tanaim is about is how much of a connection is considered a connection to make a single unit. So now the Gemara says that there's another Amora that agrees with Abaye. Rabbi Yochanan also thinks that is really what the Machlokas is about. How much of a connection makes a connection? Why, where do we see Rabbi Yochanan holds that that's the Machlokas? To Rabbi Yochanan Rami, because Rabbi Yochanan asked the Stira to Rabbi Meir at Rabbi Meir, between two different Shitas Rabbi Meir, and the Stira is only a Stira if you assume that the Machlokas in our Mishnah is about connectivity. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan asked the following Stira. Mi Amar Meir Ochiz B'Kadam Vein Gadol Imo Ole Imo Hareu Kamohu. Does Rabbi Meir really hold, as he suggests in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan's giving it all away right now, that this is the way he understands that Rabbi Meir is suggesting in our Mishnah, that when Yochiz B'Katan Ein Gadol Ole Imo, that Hareu Kamohu, that it's considered to be fully connected? Does Rabbi Meir really hold that way? Ur Minhu, I'll ask you Stira, because Rabbi Meir says elsewhere, and presumably this is a citation of a Mishnah Maseches Tevil Yom, even though our version of the Mishnah Maseches Tevil Yom has it the opposite of the way we're about to quote it, but that's what we presume, that he's really quoting from a Mishnah, or his version of a Mishnah Maseches Tevil Yom, that Ochel Shenifras Ma'or B'Mitzas. Let's say you have truma food that is cut into two different pieces, but it's still somewhat connected. So it's cut off of the larger piece of truma, but it's still somewhat connected. Rameir Omer Imochis B'Katan B'Gadol Ole Imo Hareu Kamo. Rameir says that if you can lift up the smaller piece and the larger piece will go along with it, then you consider it a single unit, that if a Tevil Yom were to touch one of them, the other one would become puzzle along with it. The assumption over here is the Mishnah is talking about a Tevil Yom that touches Truma. Now, a Tevil Yom, someone who already went to the mikvah, all he's got to do is wait for Av Shemesh to become Tahar. He has the status of a Sheni Latuma. So what can he do? If he touches Truma, the Truma will become a Shlishi. But Truma can never become a Revi'i. So if he touches one half of the partially cut Truma, so the part that he touches becomes a Shlishi. The question is, what about the other part? So the other part is touching the first part, but that's not enough. It's not going to be able to transmit the Tumah to become a Revi. But if it's considered one big unit, so all of it becomes a Shlishi. So that's what Rameir says. If when you pick up the smaller piece, it's connected enough that the larger part is going to be lifted along with it, so then Hareu Kamo, then it's considered one single unit, and it's all a Shlishi Lutuma. But Vim Lav, but if the larger part is not Ola Imo, when you pick up the smaller part, then Eino Kamo, then it's not considered a single unit. Va'am Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan, in order to be Mitarit the Stira in Rameir, says that the real sheet of Rameir is that it's good enough that if you were to pick up the Gadol, that the Katan is Ola Imo, and that would already be considered Guf Echad. That even just by picking up the larger piece of the smaller piece goes along with it, which obviously has a lot less weight and is much more likely to go with the larger piece, even that's enough of a chibur. Why didn't he say the same thing by Truma that became Tameh with the Tevil Yom? Mukhlefes HaShita. In that Mishnah alone, Rameir changes his Shita, just for the sake of that Mishnah. And he holds that just by picking up the Katan, Neina Gadol Oli Imo, then the other one is not going to be Nifsal through Negiya B'Sheni. So Rabbi Yochanan also apparently explains this Machlefes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah the way Abaye did that. According to Rabbi Meir, since when Yerocheh is begadol, the katan is only imo, hareu kamohu. That's enough of a chibur, even though that's a very weak chibur. And according to Rabbi Shimon, only when Yerocheh is begadol, since when Yerocheh is begadol, the gadol would not be ole imo, Rabbi Shimon would say that's not good enough. Yeah, I don't care that when Yerocheh is begadol, that the katan is ole imo. It doesn't work in the reverse. When Yerocheh is begadol, the gadol is not ole imo, and that's therefore not a good enough chibur. That's the way Rashi understands. Now you'll note the words Mukhlefes HaShita are used differently here than they are anywhere else in Shas, right? Mukhlefes HaShita always means that we've confused the two Shitos. Beisham and Beisil, what we said was Beisham, it was really Beisil. What we said was Beisil, it was really Beisham. What we said was Reb Meir was really Rabbi Shimon, you know, something like that. Over here, we're just saying that no, it's all Reb Meir, and we got everything right, and we attributed everything that Reb Meir said to Reb Meir. But Mechlef Sashita just means that for whatever reason, when it came to the halachas of Tevul Yom, he had a different geder. He had a different halacha. That's what it means. That what we quote here from B'Shem Reb Meir is quoted in Maseches Tevul Yom in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that happens to be. And B'Shem over there, Reb Meir says that when your och is begadol, the katan is only imo, that's enough for it to be considered a guf echad. So Tosfos is bothered by the kasha, that according to our gears in the Mishnah, it turns out that a meir by truma is exactly the same as a meir by Avraham Adulvel, and Rabbi Yochanan's whole kasha is not a kasha. Meaning the way our gears appears in the Mishnah is that what we have B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda is really Rabbi Meir, and what we have B'Shem Rabbi Meir is really Rabbi Yehuda. So the Chazon Nachum in Tevul Yom says that you have to say that according to Rashi and Tosfos, the girsa that we have in the Mishnah is a mistaken girsa, because we see it's not Rabbi Yochanan's girsa in the Mishnah. But the Tos Yontif says that no, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean Mechlef es Hashita the way Rashi explained it, that Rabbi Meir somehow distinguishes between Truma and everything else. No, what Rabbi Yochanan means is that the Tana of the Mishnah accidentally switched around, like it always means throughout the rest of Shas, the Shitos of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But really, according to Rabbi Meir, it's enough that when Yeruch is begadol, the Katan is only Imo, that's enough for it to be considered a Guf Echad, even when it comes to Truma. And therefore, this Mechlef Sashita, says the Tos Yontif, is just like every other Mechlef Sashita. And that's why our Mishnah conforms. When they reprinted our Mishnah after Rabbi Yochanan said Mechlef Sashita, they corrected it. So that's why Rabbi Meir had a girsa that was mistaken, and then he corrected it. He said Mechlef Sashita to correct the girsa. Says Gemara, Umay Kushya, why is this a kash at all? Dil Meshanim Vedi Rabbi Meir, Bein Tevul Yom L'Shar Tumos. Maybe there's a difference between Tevul Yom, which is a Tuma Kala, versus Shar Tumos, which is a Tuma Chamura. And that's why Reb Meir holds by Tevul Yom that if the Gadol is not Nimshach Achar HaKatan, that when you pick up the small piece, the Gadol doesn't come along with it, that's not considered a Guf Echad with regard to Tuma of a Tevul Yom. But with regard to real heavier Tuma, then it would be considered a Guf Echad. That's not a Shita, that's not a Stira at all. Says the Gemara that you have to say that according to Reb Meir, there's no difference between Negias Tevul Yom and Negias other Tumos that are more serious. Because Tanya Reb Meir, Echot Tevul Yom, Echot Shar Tumos. That the Braisa tells us that according to Reb Meir, there is no difference between Tevul Yom and other Tumos. When it comes to Truma, it's going to be the same halacha, that if by pulling up one piece, the other piece goes along with it, it's considered to be a Guf Echad. I, Vidilma, the Rebbe, Lo Shanile, the Reb Meir, Shanile. That Braisa just tells me that Rebbe doesn't think that Reb Meir distinguishes between Tevul Yom and other Tumos. But maybe according to Reb Meir, other versions of Reb Meir do distinguish. Some Rabbi Yoshi, Rabbi Yochanan's kasha is not a kasha if you can suggest that there's a chiluk between Tevul Yom and everything else. But what we're saying is that according to Rebbe, who says that Reb Meir's shita is that there's no difference between Tevul Yom and other levels of Tuma, then Mechlef Hashita. Then you have to say that Reb Meir's shita in that Mishnah is different than his Shita everywhere else. So that's all the second explanation of the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Again, that the Machlokas is simply about how connected does something have to be in order for it to be, still be considered connected with regard to Tuma. When your Och is Bekatan and Ein Gadol Ola Imo, is that still considered to be fully connected? Now this is very much Nogei La'alacha, not only in the laws of Tuma and Tahara, because there is a halacha that when it comes to Hilchus Betzias HaPas, that when a person makes a hamotzi, the halacha is you're supposed to be chotech in the hamotzi prior to in the bread prior to making the hamotzi. You're supposed to slice the bread a little bit prior to making the hamotzi, because the assumption is that if you were to say the hamotzi and then slice the bread entirely, that would be too much of a hefsik between the hamotzi and eating the bread. But the question is, how much are you supposed to be chotech? Because if you're chotech too much, then it's no longer, you're no longer being mevarich on a shalim, you're only being mevarich on a prusa. So the Rush writes that since whenever you have machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, so la halacha, chibure ochlim are not considered a chibur. Whenever your oches bekatan and the gadol ole imo, that's considered to be a chibur. So the Rush says, when it comes to chitas, chituch prusas Hamotzi, before the bracha of Hamotzi, that some don't want to be chotich the lechem at all until after the bracha. He says that's not correct to wait till after the bracha, because it's going to be a hefsik between the bracha and the achila, because it takes too long to cut the bread. He says, so you're supposed to cut a little bit, but not be mafrid the prusa until after the bracha. So he says, how much are you supposed to cut? This shear, that if your ochis beprusa, the kikar zola ima, that if you were to take, if you were to lift up the smaller piece that you're cutting off, that the rest of the bread would still go along with it. Because if you cut more than that, then the according to Rabbi Yehuda, the prusa is considered to be detached, and you're not being botzeya on a kikar shalim. And this is a particularly sensitive issue when it comes to Shabbos, where on Shabbos you really need two shleim, you need it in order to be yotzei lecha mishnah. So particularly when it comes to Shabbos, you shouldn't cut too much. Shulchan Aruch paskins this way in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Aleph, that you should cut the prusa sabitzia before the bracha. You should cut just a little bit, that if you're ochis beprusa, the rest of the kikar would be ola imo, because otherwise it's considered already sliced off. And leave it attached to the bread while you say the bracha, and then when you finish the bracha, you should be mafrid it in order that you could then cut it more easily. And Shabbos and Yantif, so we're a little bit more careful. In Minhagei Maril, it says that the Maril for Shabbos and Yantif would have to make very thin loaves of bread, and that way he didn't have to be chotech at all, because it didn't take any time at all. He would just hold it and just break it, and it would happen just like that. But with a thicker loaf of bread, it's difficult to do that, to just break it off. But maybe that's the makor for pull apart challah, is the Maril, that if it comes apart very easily, then you don't need to be chotech in advance, according to the Maril. I just had the opportunity to sit next to Rav Asher Weiss for Shabbos Suuda, so Rav Asher Weiss was honored to do the Hamotzi. He was leading the Suuda, and he cut pretty significantly into the challah, even on a Friday night. I would say about halfway down into the challah, even on a Friday night, in order to fulfill the salacha of being chotech first. Okay, but all of this was the second approach that we had in understanding the machlokas tanaim in our Mishnah. Now we move on to the third approach in understanding this machlokas. Again, the machlokas was between our main and Rabbi Shimon, if you have an aver that's meduldol from a live animal, and then you do shchita on the animal, we know that the shchita is machshir the rest of the animal, the kabel tuma, is the shchita machshir the aver meduldol, the kabel tuma. So it's worthwhile to remember what we learned back 10 days ago in Daf Kuf Yud Ches from a pasuk by Tumas Ochlin, Tamei Hu Lachem, that the word Lachem tells me to include Yados HaOchlin. That's something that's a Yad for the Ochel. If Tuma touches it, the food becomes Tamei as well. But there was a machlokas in the Gemara, is there Yad the Hechsher as well? Let's say water comes in contact with only the Yad, but not the Ochel. Does the Ochel also become Hechsher LeKabel Tuma? Rava Amar says, Rava, you know what the machlokas Tanayim in our Mishnah is? They argue whether there's a din of yad as far as hechsher lekabel tuma is concerned. Mar savar yesh yad l'tuma ve'ein yad lehechsher. Rabbi Shimon holds, while there is such a din of yad when it comes to tuma, there's no din of yad when it comes to hechsher, and therefore, just because the behema is hechsher lekabel tuma with its shchita, but the eiver meduldol does not become hechsher lekabel tuma. Mar savar and Rabbi Meir holds yesh yad l'tuma. That there's a yad l'tuma and there's yesh yad lehechsher as well, and therefore the aver becomes hechsher along with it. A fourth possible shita now in explaining the machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Rav Papa Amar, that even Rabbi Shimon is moda, that there is such a thing as a yad lehechsher. But over here we're talking about that you didn't think about using it as a meichel until after the shechita. Because after all, this aver is not, a Jew is not allowed to eat this aver. Only a guy would be allowed to eat it. So you didn't think of feeding it to a guy until after the shechita. And behechsher, kodem machshava, kamiflegi. The machlokas is, any time something is not meant to be a food and it comes in contact with water, and only after it had come in contact with the liquid, did you have in mind, oh, maybe I'll use it as a food? So do we now retroactively say that when the liquid touched it, it became hukshar lekabel tuma? It's not, because we have a, not really a Mishnah, really it's a braisa. So some have the girsa of Titania, because we don't know of any Mishnah that has this, but a braisa. That Ram Rabbi Yehuda, kachay Rabbi Kiva Shona. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Kiva used to teach us that chelev shchuta, the chelev of a shechted behema, bekfarim, in small villages where even even the goyim wouldn't eat the chelev because they had enough regular meat that they didn't have to eat chelev. That's the way Rashi understands it, that there aren't so many people that live in Kfarim, so they had basar berevach, so they wouldn't eat the chelev. Then Rashi says another possible pshat is that it's not really talking about chelev, it's talking about shuman. Shuman is the kosher fats that the people in the krachim are very wealthy, they would eat the kosher fats, but the Bnei Kfarim were poor, they couldn't afford to eat the kosher fats. Okay, but either way, whether we're talking about actual chelev, whether we're talking about shuman, bottom line is it wasn't something that was eaten in Kfarim, so tzaruch machshava, you need to have a machshava for achila, and if you don't have a machshava for achila, it's not going to be mekabel tumas ochlin, ve'in tzaruch hechsher, but it does not require hechsher of water to come in contact with it in order for it to be hukshar lekabel tuma, shekvar hukshar b'shchita, because it already became hukshar at the time that you did the shchita. But at the time you did the shchita, you never dreamt about eating it yet. Yeah, but still, if the shchita is machshir, it's machshir anything that you will ultimately decide to use as an ochel. Now, obviously, when we're saying that you have machshava for achila, if we're talking about chelev, it means not for you to eat, it means for a guy to eat. And if we're talking about shuman, then it could even be for you to eat. So says Rabbi Yehuda, I said to Rabbi Akiva, how could it be that the shechita is machshir lekabel tuma? Limadetanu Rabbeinu, you taught us that ulshin, a certain type of very bitter vegetable, which is in Yana Dioma, it's one of the minim of Mar, if I'm not mistaken, it's a very bitter vegetable, shelikdan, that you take them out of the karka, v'idichan lebehema, and then you rinse them off in water, not to eat, but to feed to a behema, they're not hukshir lekabel tuma by doing that. And therefore, if you then later decide that you're going to use it for human food, it's going to require another hechsher lekabel tuma. So don't you see that if at the time that it initially came in contact with the liquid, you were not planning on using it as a food, it's not hechsher lekabel tuma? And Chazar Rabbi Akiva Lioshona Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva said, you're right, and he changed his mind. So Mar Savla Kamei Kara. So maybe that's the machlok to Rameir Rabbi Shimon. Rameir holds like Rabbi Akiva thought originally, that a hechsher that happens before you thought of using something as a food is going to work to be machshir lekabel tuma. And Umar Savla Khazara, and Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva ultimately held when he changed his mind and agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that a hechsher that comes before a machshava to use something as an ochel is not going to work as a hechsher, and therefore the shechita is not going to work for this eiver to make it ra'oi lekabel tuma, because that's the whole circumstance, that you were not planning on using that eiver as a food until afterwards, until after the shechita. That's the assumption. Tosos and Maseches Nida writes that ulshin in general are stam, they're omdos l'maychal adam, and therefore even if you were madiach them l'tzorach behema, they don't lose the status of maychal adam. Why aren't they hukshar lekabel tuma? Because if the hadacha you did in your mind was only tzorach maychal behema, even by a maychal adam, it's not considered to be a hechsher if your plan was to use it as a maychal behema. But Tosos understands that the default position of ulshin is that they are in fact Michael Adam. Rashi over here sounds not that way. Rashi says that the whole word over here is that these are assumed to be Michael Behema, and therefore you have to have positive machshava to turn them into a Michael Adam. Okay, now a fifth explanation of the machlokas. The Gemara way back on Daf Lamed Hey learned from Pasuk V'dam Chalalim Yishteh that Dafka Dam that comes out as you're killing the animals considered a mashke to be machshir the ochlin lekabel tuma. But Dam that comes out from the animal while it's alive because of some sort of wound is not machshir lekabel tuma. So our Gemara is going to explain that the machlokas tanam in our Mishnah is dam that came out of the neck of the animal at the beginning of the shechita, but not at the end of the shechita. So is that dam considered to be dam shechita, or is considered to be dam of wound? Because imagine you start slicing the animal's neck like a regular shechita motion, but then you stop. So all you did is you just made a wound in the animal. You haven't done a shechita. So that would be dam of a wound. But you continue, and it's a regular shechita. Now it's all dam of shechita. So what happens if you do a whole shechita, but it's only the dam that came out at the beginning that actually came in contact with this evra medulgal? Is that considered, is that able to be machshir lekabel tumas? Rav Acha b'Rei d'Ravika amar, b'neskanach hadam bein siman l'siman kamiflugi. The case is that you cut the siman rishon, the first siman of the behema, some of that dam goes on to the this Eiver. And then before you cut the second Siman, someone wipes off that dam from the Eiver. The dam's not there by the time you're shechting the second Siman. Mar Savar Yeshon L'Shchita M'Tchil V'Atzof. Rav Meir holds it's all one big act of Shchita, and therefore V'Haidam Shchita. Who? Even the blood that came out at the beginning is considered to be Dam Shchita, and therefore, if it hits the Eiver, it's Machshir that Eiver to be Mekabel Tuma. And the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey is Medayik from the Brisa that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Hefshir of the Behemoth with the Shchita to be Mekabel Tuma is not mitzad the dam that comes from it, it's just mitzad the etzem hashchita. Whereas the Rashba and the Ran point out that Rav Acha must have not realized that. Rav Acha must have not known that. Because Rav Acha seems to be assuming over here that it's the blood itself that's machshir l'kabel tumah, and that's his whole explanation of the machlokas. Umar savar, einu l'shchita l'bsof. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, shchita is only at the end of the shchita, v'hai damaka, and therefore this is all damaka, because this dam was from the beginning of the shchita, and it's not yet a shchita. Now, everyone seems to agree, though, that if the dam would stay there until the end of the shchita, then the mafreya, it is machshir, right? That seems to be agreed upon by everybody, that even though this dam came out before the end of the shchita, but if it stays there at the end, it is going to be machshir. The Chiddush Eran explains that even Rabbi Shimon, who holds that ein shchita l'bsof, is moda, that when the shchita is over, it's huvra l'mafreya, that it was in fact dam shchita, and therefore it's machshir, because any dam that's yotze during the shchita, bein b'sofa, bein b'tchilasa, is considered to be like mayim, and in with regards to actually the kabbal tuma. The reason it's not machshir before the gemar shchita is because at that point, it's still not compared to mayim, because mayim is a vaday mashke, whereas dam before the end of the shchita is only a safik mashke. It depends. We have to see what goes on. If you stop doing the shchita, and then it never has a shchita, then it's just dam maka. But if you continue doing the shchita, then it will be dam shchita. And now the sixth and final explanation of the machlokas. Rav Ashi Amar b'shchita machsheres v'lo dam kamifki. The machlokas is, does the hechsher of the behemoth during the shchita happen as a result of the simple act of shchita, that because it's matir the behemoth ba'achila, it's machsher l'kabel tumas ochlin as well? Or do we say that the hechsher of the behemoth l'kabel tumah is mitzad the dam that moistens the neck of the animal during the shchita, that it's like any other mashke that's machshir? So Rav Meir holds that the dam shchita is machshir, and therefore the aver is huksha lekabel tuma as well. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, it's the etzem hashchita that's machshir. How is the shchita machshir? The shchita is machshir because it makes this animal roi l'achila. But guess what? The Eivar Medulbal does not become roi l'achila when you do the shchita. So memela, the shchita is not going to be machshir the Eivar Medulbal either, because it's the Eivar Medulbal is still considered Eivar Menachai. So it's not going to be aser b'achila. It's not going to be mutar b'achila. So since it's not going to be mutar b'achila, memela, it doesn't become huksha l'kabel tumas ochlin either. That's how to understand this machlokas according to Rav Ashi. Now, even though midah oraisa the shchita is matir the evra medulda as well, but it's still not going to be machshir the kabel tuma. Tosfos explains on Daf Ayin Gimel, because Rabbi Shimon holds that hechsher b'shchita the kabel tuma is midrabanan, and the rabbanan are the ones that asur it ba'achila. So if the rabbanan asur it ba'achila, so mele they're going to say that it's not hechsher the kabel tuma either. Okay. Now we had said on Kuf Chav Zayin and Beis that Rabba's one of the explanations of the machlokas was Rabba's understanding of Rav Meir was that the behema b'shchitasa becomes a yad for the Eiver to be machshir l'kabel tuma. So the behema becomes a giant yad for that Eiver that's medulbal. So now Rav has a suffix. What about, and we're going to raise five similar sveikos, what about things that are not themselves really roi l'kabel tuma, but can they be a yad for something else? So by Rabba, behema b'chayeha ma'ashitasi yad le'Eiver. A behema that's still alive, can it be a yad for the Eivar Medulbal? If after the Eivar is nistaldel, that Eivar came into contact with water, and then Tuma touched the rest of the animal, a live animal. So does that Eivar that's Medulbal become Tame? Meaning the live animal obviously is not becoming Tame, because a live animal can't become Tame. But is it at least a yad for the rest of the animal? The Gemara says we don't know the answer to that question. A second suffix in a very similar vein, something that's mechubar lekarka is not mekabel tuma. Can something that's mechubar lekarka be a yad for tuma for that which is talush min hakarka. Amar Abai, hare amru kishus shenata ba'atzitz. If you have kishus, which is a type of a zera that's planted in a pot, and we're assuming it's an atzitz she'eno nakuf, so it's not really attached to the ground because it's completely inside of a flower pot, v'gdila v'yatzis, and then some of its branches, some of its leaves grow outside of the airspace of the pot, chutz la'atzitz, outside of the pot, tahora, the whole thing is going to be tahor, because the branches that are on the outside are yonik directly from the aretz, through the avir, through the air, that it's hovering over the ground, but that which is inside of the pot is perhaps yonik from them, and through that all of the kishos are considered to be mechubel karka, and anything that's mechubel karka is not mekabel tuma. That's the way Rashi understands our sugya. The Rambam understands it entirely differently, but not for now. So I'm Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Chacham. He says, v'chimat tivul etayher. Why would you be metar the kishos that are inside the pot? I would hold that the part that's inside the pot is not yonik from the branches that are on the outside, and mela, they're not considered a single unit. Ela hatame betumaso, the part that's tame, that's on the inside of the pot, because it's tallish from the karka, is considered to be tame, vitar betaraso, and the part that's outside of the pot, that actually is yonik from the karka, will be considered mechubel lekarka, and therefore tahar. So Abaye raises the shayla, ma'u sheteasa, ya, the chaverta, according to Rabbi Shimon, that the part that's inside the pot is tame, it can become tame, the part that's outside the pot cannot become tamei. Can the part that's outside the pot be a yad for the part that's inside the pot? So once again, teku. We have the same, we leave it as a teku as well. Now a third similar type of suffix, but this one goes a little bit further afield to the area of avodah zarah. By avodah zarah is asr ba'na. Rabbi Shimon's shita is that a food that becomes asr ba'achila doesn't have tumas ochlin either. If you're not allowed to eat it, there's no tumas ochlin. So if you have a food that avodah zarah was done with, it's not mekabel tumas ochlin because you're not allowed to eat it because it's asr ba'na. So the Gemara raises a suffix: can it become a yad for other food? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hare Amru Hamishtach Velechatzi Dalas Asara. If you bow to a half of a dalas, a half of a gourd, and it's a full gourd, but you're only bowing to half, you're only idolizing, the other half doesn't look so nice to you. But this half looks spectacular. So you decide to deify this half of a gourd, so you have asered that part Bahana. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah raises the shayla, Ma'u Shetase Yad the Chavirta. Can it become a yad for the other half? So teku, that too we leave as a teku. And then a final, a penultimate shayla along these lines. Amar Rav Papa, Hare Amru, we say in the Mishnah Masechet Zuktzin, Yichu shel te'ena shenifshach, if you have a branch of a te'ena, or a leaf of a te'ena that became weakened, and it's no longer strongly attached, Uma'ora b'klipasa, and it's just the bark that's still attaching it to the te'ena, Rabbi Yehuda's metayer the peiros from Tumas Ochlin, because it's considered to be that it's mechubar to the karka, and even if that chibur is not strong enough to provide any nourishment, any sustenance. V'cham momrim im yachal lichyos tahar. If that chibur that it still has, al yedei the klipa, is enough to provide it nourishment from the karka, so then it's tar, because it's mechubar lekarka. But v'im lav, if that connection is not strong enough to sustain it, then tamei. So by Rav Papa, ma'ashi yasli yad chavero. So let's say it's tahar, can the part that's connected be a yad for the part that's disconnected? Teku. So the Gemara says, okay, we leave that as a teku as well. And then a final suffix along these lines. Whether there's a din of yad by a tuma of an evan amunaga'as, of a house that has tzaras, which is almost a daf yomi coincidence, because we start reading about tzaras in this week's parsha, but tzaras batim, if I'm not mistaken, is next week's parsha. I think that's mitzora, and it's not a double parsha this year. So the din is that if you see a negat tzaras in the walls of a house, the kohen has to be maskir the house for 7 days. He cordons it off for 7 days. After that, he goes to investigate whether the nega has expanded in the house. If so, he has to cut out the stones where the nega was, and he has to peel the cement of the house and throw the stones and the cement outside of the city, put other stones in their place, and re-cement it, and close off the house for an additional 7 days. If the nega returns, then he breaks down the house. So the Gemara has a discussion, and Evan HaMenegas is Metame Ba'ohel. What would be the halacha if only half of it is Tame? But does the other half become a Yad for the half that's Tame? So Amar Bezerah, Hare Amru, Evan Shabazavis. You have an Evan that's in a corner of a house. And Kshu Choletz, when you are Choletz that Evan, Choletz as Kula. You have to be Choletz the entire Evan, even the part that's in the neighbor's property, because it's an adjacent wall between two houses. Ukshu notates, and when you're notates the bayis, when the nega comes back and you have to destroy the entire house, so if you have such an oven between two houses, notates as shalo umaniach as shal chavero. Only destroy the half of the oven that's in the house, that the afflicted house, and not the neighboring house. Oh, so half of the oven is tameh and half of it's tar. Can the part that is tahar be in a yad for the part that is tameh? Teku. So the Gemara leaves that as a suffix as well. Doesn't answer it. Okay. Now the Mishnah said mesa behema, that if an animal dies and it has an evra meduldol, according to our Mer, the evra is mitameh from as evra menachai, but not evra shal nevela. So ma'ika bein evra menachai le evra shal nevela. What's the difference between evra menachai and evra shal nevela? They're both tameh anyway. If you cut off a piece of flesh that has a kazayis from that Aver Shalem that had been detached from a behema, so there's a difference whether it was porish from an Aver Menachai or Aver Menanevela. Dilu basar porish from Aver Menachai lo metame. Basar that comes from Aver Menachai is not metame mishum Aver Menachai because it's not an Aver. Aver Menanevela metame. But basar that comes off of an Aver Menanevela is like any basar nevela, and basar nevela is tame. So Aver Menachai de metame. Mikra. From what pasuk do I learn that Evra Menachai is even metame at all? So Rav Yamarav v'chiyamos mina behema. It's derived from the pasuk v'chiyamos mina behema. The pasuk continues asher yilachem liyachla anogeh b'nevlasa yitma ad ha'erev. So we darshan from the words mina behema that even part of a behema that dies, meaning that has been detached, an Evra has been detached from it, which is like a partial misa, because an Evra that's detached is never coming back. Anyone that touches it becomes tamei ad ha'erev. So we see from there, Evra Menachai is tamei. Don't we need the same pasuk to teach us a different din of Rabbi Amrav? Because Rabbi Amrav taught a different din. And some say it's a brisa that tells us the same pasuk that mina behema is coming to be mimait, that miktsas behema metama, miktsas behema ena metama, vezuzu trefa sheshchata, that part of some behemos are metame when they die, other behemos are not metame when they die. What's a behema that's not metame when it dies, if you shechted it, but it turned out to be a trefa? So even though the shechita didn't work to be matir ba'achila, but the shechita does work to be matir, to be mitirit, midei nevela. So this pasuk isn't available to teach me the tumah status of Evra Menachai. I already needed to tell me the tahara status of shechting a trefa. So im kein, if it was only coming to tell me that one drasha, lichtav rachmana mi behema. My min ha behema, shrami natarti. It phrased it in such a way with an extra letter to tell me that I can learn two different drashos. Ihachi, if the pasuk is telling me that even mitzas min behema that dies is metame, and that's how I learn that every menachai is metame, then afilu basar nami, then even flesh that comes off of a living animal should be metame. Says Mar Lo Salkadaitach. Detanya, yachli ye basar parish menachai tame. You might think that basar menachai is tame. Tamalomer v'chiyamos min behema. Ma misa she'ena osa chalipin. Just like misa is something that can never come back, it never changes, it's a process that never reverses itself. Afkol she'ino sechalipin. So too, the type of tumah that we're deriving from this pasuk is something that doesn't grow back. But basar that's porish menachai is not metame because other basar could grow back and take its place. Div Rabbi Yosei Glili. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says the tara of basar that comes off of a live animal is learned from somewhere else. Behema ma behema gidim vatsamos. Just like an entire behema contains not just flesh but gidim vatsamos as well. Afkol gidim vatsamos. So too, the part of a behema that comes off of behema that will cause tumah it has all the ingredients of basar, gidin, and atzamos. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says, no, the limud is the fact that it says behema, ma behema, basar gidin vatsamos, afkal basar gidin vatsamos. Sorry, the previous drasha was that it just needs gidin vatsamos. Now Rebbe says it needs Basar Gidim and Atzamos in order to be considered an Eivor Menachai. Ma'i Kabin Rabbi the Rabbi Akiva, Ikabin Ayur Arkuva. What's the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva? Nafkamina between them is the Arkuva, which is the bottom of the leg of the animal, which is an Eivor Shalem. It has Gidim and Atzamos, but it doesn't have any Basar. According to Rabbi Akiva, since it has Gidim and Atzamos, it's an Eivor Menachai if it comes off from the animal. According to Rabbi, though, it doesn't have Basar, so Mela it's not going to be Metame as Eivor Menachai. Bein Rabbi Akiva the Rabbi Yossi Aglila Ma'i Kabin Ayur. What's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili as far as the din of Eivor Menachai? Amar Papa Kulya V'Nivs V'Sayim Mikabinayim. The difference between them is the kidneys or the upper lip of the animal. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if a full kidney is taken or the upper lip from an animal while it's alive, it has Tumah of Eivor Menachai because it's never going to grow back. But according to Rabbi Kiva, it's not Matam Mishum Eivor Menachai because it doesn't have Gidim V'Atzamos. Tanya Nami Gabe Shratzim Kai Gavna. We have a similar brisa when it comes to Shratzim. Yachal Basra Parish Men Shratzim Yetam. You might think that basa that comes off of a shara should be tame. Tamalomar bimosam ma misa she'ena osa chalipin av kol she'ena osa chalipin. Only the Rabbi Yosei Aglili. Rabbi Yosei Aglili says only that which doesn't grow back is going to become tame. Basar will grow back. Rabbi Akiva Omer sheret ma sheret gidim atzamos av kol gidim atzamos. But the reason that basar min sheret is not metame is because it doesn't have gidim atzamos. Rabbi Omer sheret ma sheret basar gidim atzamos av kol basar gidim atzamos. That it's not just enough to have gidim. Matzamos needs basar gidim matzamos. Bein Rabbi the Rabbi Kiva ikubinayu arkuva. Bein Rabbi Kiva the Rabbi Yossi Aglili the Ma'i ikubinayu. Amar Papa kol yivnivs vasayim ikubinayu. The same exact discussion. Utzricha, we need the discussion both by a behema and by a sheretz. Diash min behema haynu time d'lo matame mechayim mishum d'lo matame b'kadasha. I would say the behema is less chamor because it's not matame b'kadasha. Aval sheretz the matame b'kadasha, but a sheretz which has tuma b'kadasha emel matame mechayim. I would think that even basar that's porish from it while it's alive should be able to be metame because it has a stronger level of tuma. V'yashmin yasharet mishum tal metame b'masa and v'lo metame mechayim av behema de metame b'masa ema tetame mechayim. I would say yeah, sharet because it's not metame b'masa is more kal than a nevela which is metame b'masa. Meaning if an animal that dies becomes a nevela and is metame b'masa. So I would think that basa that comes from it should be able to be metame mechayim. Tzricha, that's why I need this entire conversation. Tell me that the halachas are identical, both by basa that's porish from a behema and by basa that's porish from a shemet.